This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 6 a.m., 7 of August. It's Wednesday, hum day. Welcome to the Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, and I'm together with my nice colleagues, Wong Xiaoning, as well as Sharit Abdullah. Welcome, guys. How are you guys this morning?
Good, thank you, Julian. How are you guys?
I like the nice in inverted commas.
Nice, nice. Sometimes nice is not nice. Okay, yeah, we're going to bring you stories that are the lighter side of business. Sometimes not so light, sometimes quite serious, right? So have we got today?
Well, what do you do when you have kids who have a mind of their own and you just can't control them? Are you tempted to leash them for their own good? But something in you just says it's a no-no?
Interesting. I don't have kids, so I want to hear the discussion from others who have got kids.
Be interesting.
So it'll just be Sharit's talking then.
Well, it'll be Sharit chill then. Okay, well, at the same time, I think the past week we've been speaking about PTPT and how there has been an announcement with regards to debt consolidation. I mean, not that will be the subject, but they are planning to propose a EPF mechanism to help, with the state of PTPT and loan defaulters. So, but at the same time, there's still some suggestions pouring out and perhaps debt consolidation could be another option. So we'll look into that.
All right. And also, if you have anything to weigh in, you can actually WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, Barney's. It's not a circus. It's a department store chain, luxury department store in the US. It's going bust. All right. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, here's River Deep, Mountain High by the Supremes and the Four Tops. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. And that was You and Me song by the Wannadies. And this is the Morning Run. You with Julian Xiaoning and Sharit. Now, Barney's, this is a US luxury department store that was opened in New York in 1923, I guess in the thick of the roaring 20s and a few years just before the Great Depression, which happened at the end of that decade, that catered to the luxury needs of the people at the time. Also made famous by Sex and the City, it has filed for bankruptcy and put itself up for sale. So is this an end of an era? Xiaoning, we're looking at you.
Am I the only one that probably has shopped at Barney?
I don't even dare to step foot in any of those luxury stores. I get nervous every time.
I thought this was a circus.
That's Barnum's, according to our producer.
Or Barney, that child purple dinosaur character.
That's what you know of Barney's.
Yeah.
Well, Barney's in its heyday, I mean, it was really quite a different departmental store. It wasn't the likes of Saks Fifth Avenue or Macy's or Bloomingdale's. It was quite niche and they introduced all these very interesting brands before anyone did, like Ise Miyake, Comme des Garçons, all those like niche ideas, niche brands. But somehow along the way, they just always seem to face financial problems. So this is not the first time. They've been rescued a few times.
Right.
But I think the onset of e-commerce, the arrival of luxury portals like Net-a-Porter has really put a nail into Barney's coffin, unfortunately. I think this time it's going to be really hard for them to survive.
So Barney's, my understanding is that they are a distributor, so they have a collection of all the many luxury. Is that
have some of their own brands. Okay. They do make some interesting shoes, clothing.
Okay.
They were synonymous for being kind of edgy New York fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I still think that people have that need to touch and feel. I didn't think that it was going to be that bad of a threat eventually. I mean, I still hear that Apple is reopening their stores in some ways.
That's different, though. Apple is...
So they produce the product. So distributed, that's why I think I was trying to find out whether or not... Is it the margin
Apple,
that people
actually,
make?
Apple doesn't have a lot of stores. So in each city, and a major city at that, like New York or... I don't know, Hong Kong or San Francisco, right? Then they will put up a shop there. But like Barney's, definitely it would be affected by the online onslaught, right? Because people are going online to do their shopping and it's much cheaper, right? I was looking at a pair of shoes in KLCC the other day. And then when we went home, my wife went online to look for the same pair of shoes and it was like almost half price of what it was retailed
at.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, pricing is one thing. It's also the brands themselves, right? They take ownership of the... e-commerce strategy much more than in the past. Last time, if you bought a luxury good, you had to go to the physical store. Mm. But now, even the likes of Louis Vuitton, Burberry, they have a very aggressive e-commerce product sort of stand, so that you go into the website. Maybe you can't buy the final product sometimes, but you definitely can have a look at it online. So in the past, maybe your option was you would go to a departmental store to have a look. But now, hey, you do it online, then you maybe go to their own store at the end of the day.
Mm.
Rather than go through a departmental store.
So it's really repurposing the function of a store, the role of a store. It's really not so much of a place where you make sales. So I guess from 15 to 22 stores, I mean, those remaining seven stores, that's probably what they'd be serving. That's the role they'll be serving.
Really. Yeah, so there's two reasons for this. One, of course, is the onset of e-commerce that has changed, to me, why Barney's, you know, probably is going through rough times. The second is the departmental store dead also?
Yeah, exactly. So many are closing down. We've seen that in the United States, but not here in Malaysia because we just love our malls, don't we?
No, but then some of the, for example, our own Parkson, right? Yeah. Which is homegrown.
Correct.
They have closed some stores in KL. We had Maju Junction closed, Sungai Wang closed.
KLCC also is closed. Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Is the departmental store model dead?
Whether luxury
or even, let's say, non-luxury.
When I pass by a luxury store, I don't see a lot of people inside.
Never is, Sharit. Yeah. It's supposed to make you feel like you go in there and you're special.
They just need to sell one Birkin handbag a day.
Is that really
cover the rent, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Xiaoning?
I don't know. But the other factor that has affected all these retailers in the US is actually the high rent.
Mm.
So that's really killing them too.
How about intellectual property though, imitation products? Is that part of the reason why now that I guess having it online, people don't really know and people don't feel ashamed anymore? They just opt
They
to
don't
it
feel
online?
Ashamed buying I mean, fake goods?
Fake has been around for the longest time.
Yeah,
I don't think fake has anything to do with the demise of these high-end departmental stores.
But fast fashion is, because fast fashion is a kind of pretty high-quality copycat of the real thing, right? If you look at Uniqlo and Zara.
Yeah. I mean, it's on a runway like 2 months ago, and you can find it in the store.
Mm.
Exactly in 2 months before you know it.
And bespoke as well. I think that's coming up. A lot of people, I mean, there's been a growing business of people just, a lot of, at least retail or fashion, that are now customizing things. I think that industry itself is changing.
All right, let us know what you think by WhatsApping us 01878-9889 or tweeting us at BFM Radio. Let us know if you go online to shop or you still love going to the offline department stores. Also coming up next, we'll look at leashing kids. So stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Golden Hour by Casey Musgrave. You're with The Morning Run. Welcome back. And thanks for joining us. You're with Julian Sharitz as well as Xiaoning. Now, leashing kids, is there anything wrong with leashing kids? I've seen a lot of parents do that, and I think that I guess some quarters are not very comfortable with that idea because it raises connotations that you reduce the kids to a level that is not quite human. You agree, Sharitz? You have like half a dozen of kids, right?
Yeah, I'm going to admit that I think I bought a leash. Didn't quite use it as often.
Wait, hang on. This is important because
it's like a bag leash.
This is important because it will contribute to the discussion, right? Mm. How many kids do you have?
I've got three.
Three kids. Okay, so that's a handful, right?
That's a handful, and they're all different. So some of them are more active than the other. One are more, brave than the other. One are more, one of them are more, one or two of them are more obedient than the other as well. So really, it's really different.
And are they all of toddler age?
Sorry?
Are they all of a toddler age?
Yeah, two of them. One of them is a baby. So, I mean, the youngest one who's just slightly over 1 year old, so she's obedient. Every time she walks over, to the staircase, and if I were to shout her name, she'll stop. But there are those that don't. So, I mean, but I think when I first bought it, there was a bit of a stigma, or you're worried about what people would think.
What drove you to buy the leash in the first place?
I think it's just paranoia. I think because Malaysia is not like Singapore, when you lose your kids, you don't...
Singapore?
No, I mean...
You're okay to lose your kids in Singapore.
Yeah, well, from what I've been... when I speak to those who are from Singapore, they say when they lose their kids in the mall, they just lose their kids in the mall.
they find them.
Eventually, they'll find them. You know, eventually. But over here, there's always been, you know, news out there that just freaks you out. And if you lose your kid, you might just lose them forever. So that's what led me.
That's a saying in Singapore, right? Low crime doesn't mean no crime. But the police is very free there, so that if you lose your handbag within an hour, you get it back. So kids, no different.
So, I mean, it's really about what people, you know, what stopped me from using it, you know, more frequent than I think
so
I should be.
So you did use it?
Was because of what people, I worry about what people think.
Did you use it at all?
Yes, I have.
You
once
have?
Once or twice, I can't remember.
And what drove you to use it?
Because
one or two times.
That was when I was parenting by myself, number one, and I had to do several things, and I may not be able to pay attention to my kids. So that was that one, those were instances. But I think when it's just about spending time with them, that's when I don't think I'll, you know, I have a lot.
Which is actually exactly my point. I think at the end of the day, it's really up to the parent, right? As much as society, we like to give a look. I don't think that's fair because, you know, as a parent, you know your own capability, what you can cope with. And you also then also know your own children. And sometimes, like for you, Sharitz, you clearly felt I couldn't cope. And this was probably better for the kid. At least I could manage her and my other children at the same time.
Yeah. But I do question myself sometimes as to what are my focus during the time I spent with my kids. There are times when you tend to have that weak moment when you're spending time
with
your phone
or something.
But
sometimes feel parents put so much pressure on themselves, you know, because they, of course, all parents want the best for their children, right?
Like, well, you signed up for it. Yeah. You better take up the responsibility, really.
You know, they say that you need a village to take care of a child, right? A kid. And today we don't have that benefit. Some of us are lucky enough to have the benefit of maids. Some families even have one maid per kid.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But today, that village doesn't exist anymore. So perhaps the leash, or maybe we should change the name from leash to, let's say, a child tether, right? It's a representation of that particular village to take care of your child. There is, this story, we got it from this website called slate.com. And there is a quote here from a parent who said, I had a toddler and a little baby, was in postpartum recovery and physically couldn't run after the kid. I have arthritis and can't hold hands easily. I think they get more exercise and they would be in a stroller. A stroller is very inconvenient. So this person used a leash for the kid.
Mm. And I think some of us rely on our parents to do that. I think exactly the whole physical, symptoms that she was, she was sharing earlier. I think those are some of the things that parents actually experience.
Yes.
I mean, older parents ones.
So for me, I think there's no issue. I think you just do as a parent what is right for you and your children. And we as society shouldn't judge or shouldn't kind of give them that looks, because that's what they can cope with, parents.
What about screens and devices? Would you apply the same kind of attitude as you would with leash to screens and devices?
You mean because, like, distracting children with the iPad, for
example?
Yeah,
some kids are on it.
It
all
works.
The time,
I know. I have to confess, my nieces and the sole nephew is always distracted by an iPad. I mean, it's my sister's decision. I'm not a big fan of it. I would rather the kids interact. But sometimes I notice if you don't give it to them, they just go berserk. And
yeah, but that's the easy way out, though.
Yeah, it is.
So
but if you're a parent, right?
That's when I say you signed up for it.
Yeah, but you know, you're always struggling, right, as a parent. You want to feed them, you want to keep them quiet, you don't want to kind of make them a nuisance to other people. Mm. So what do you do?
Yeah. So, it's not really about perception. And I think it's just a matter of whether you really know that you're spending enough time with the kids, really.
All right. You can chime in as to what you think about this whole idea of leashing kids or at least tethering them to you with a kind of string-like instrument. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up to the news. And to take you there, here's Walking After You by the Foo Fighters, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to Morning Run, and that is still rock and roll to me. I don't know who the artist is. I should know this because I'm such an expert in music. Oh, Billy Joel. He sounds like Billy Joel. Thanks for staying with us. You're with Julian, Xiaoning, and Sharitz. And recently there has been one or two major announcements with regards to this big problem called PTPTN, which is threatening to have a loan size that's going to surpass 1 MDB if we don't manage this properly. And the announcement revolves around allowing the PTPTN defaulters to borrow to buy a property or also to consolidate their account into the EPF account. This property one is interesting because it involves ticking that black mark out of your debt rating, right, at CCRIS. And therefore, when that is removed, you're cleared to borrow from the banks.
Yeah, so I mean, we're speaking about 16% of total defaulters. 19 now.
Don't pay.
So, I mean, that's a big amount. So, I mean, past few weeks, we've heard that the proposal has been up and they're about to introduce the EPF mechanism, which I think after for so long, after all the engagement, it's just a matter of time that we have to start having a concrete decision as to how to deal with this situation. But coming out with an idea to consolidate, I don't know, because at the end of the day, it's still about the debt's still there. But my concern is that PTPTN's interest rate has been low. I wonder when they consolidate with banking products, whether the interest rate that those who have to repay back will be higher.
No, that's why I have a few questions about this. It's not necessarily a bad idea, but there are a few practical questions. Does the debt burden then shift to the banks, or is it still the government's? Because the bank's managing the loans, right? So does the government sell off its bad debt of this PTN to these commercial banks? And like Sharit's pointed out, at what rate will the PTPTN loan be charged? Will it be at existing rates, or will it be at a newly negotiated commercial rate?
I think the PTPTN loans don't feature as far as the property loan is concerned. So the property loan is just a normal commercial property loan, which the bank looks at. That means the PTPTN debt becomes hidden from the banking system, right? And that suggests, I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly, that suggests that either the government is looking at forgiving some of this debt or trying to think of other ways to handle it.
No, because I think this article is talking about the loan consolidation, right? Mm. So what it does is that you take your PTPTN and then you package it aside with the commercial loans you have with a normal bank. And then you pay it off in like one single installment rather than you have a PTPN installment and then you have a commercial bank installment.
Yeah.
So it's nicely packaged together. And maybe in some way then it makes it easier for the person to pay up one single sum as opposed to a few sums.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they still have to pay.
They still have to pay. But it just maybe...
Much more on their monthly commitment.
Yeah, it's a question of convenience, right?
I take a different view of this because I don't think it's that simple. Education, I think, is something that's supposed to be provided by the government. And if education is too expensive, then true, somebody has to pay for it. But what are your options as somebody who wants education, right? Either you don't take up that debt and be not educated, or you take the money, whatever money that you can get from somebody who's willing to give you that money.
So I think with regards to PTPTN is because the moment you sign the contract, you've agreed to pay. I mean, that was something that we were aware of. When I was taking PTPTN, I know it would be a nice option to have education provided for free. I mean, there's no doubt. But when we decided to take on to go for education and to take on the loan, that was the best offer available in the house. Once we signed it, it's really taking up the responsibility.
It's kind of like food, right? If you don't have money to buy food and you stole a loaf of bread, should you go to jail for that? Right. So this is a social consideration that is on the table
right
now. But I have another problem with that housing thing because if we separated the issue, right, I think housing will just add to the woes. Like if you took a loan to buy a home, it would add to the woes of these defaulters because. You know, you just don't want to encourage people to take on more debt, especially debt that would shackle you for the rest of your life.
I think one of the arguments is that if you look at housing loans and the nature of it, right, it has a very long duration. So we're talking about manageable monthly installments. I'm not sure how long you're expected to pay your PTPTN. How long?
I don't quite remember.
Is it like a few years?
Yeah, it was definitely more than 10 years.
Okay, so the argument is the same. You stretch out your PTPN, combine it with your housing loan, so that monthly you pay bite-sized amounts, which you hopefully can manage.
Yeah, and I think but when you associate it with housing, the only thing that I could probably relate to is probably refinancing, where it's going to be I remember its package is that it's separated from the property itself, and loan would be, even though the interest rate, the whole package is about the same. But I think that's my concern, is whether or not the interest rate is going to be higher than what PTPTN has to offer.
Yeah, I do think that there is this unhealthy preoccupation with buying property. I think that you can rent and invest, right? You can put it, your money with somebody as clever as Xiao Ning, and she will invest for you to get,
returns
anymore. That are higher than your property without having this ball and chain to your loan and to the banks. All right, let us know what you think. We'll continue with this discussion after this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Morning Run. And that was Stormy Weather by Etta James. A nice, lovely tune there to perk up your morning. You're with Julian, Xiao Ning and Sherrod. So what's on social media? Have people been responding to what we have been talking about? I think PTPTN loan would be the most controversial of the topics.
Yeah, but let's start with leashing because...
leashing is very controversial too.
Yeah, because Davide wrote, Darth Vardai. Apologies. Leashing a kid's a definite no. Shackling them is not the way forward. When you're out with your kids, focus with them. Don't be on the phone, not the shopping list, because this has a negative impact on the kid.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that is that when people are out, they're always shopping, right? Otherwise, they need no reason to go out.
Just stay at home.
Yeah. Shopping mall can be a very scary place, especially when there's
escalators. My goodness, I'm always really scared when children are near escalators.
I normally hold my kid's hand on the escalator. It is scary. And we also got a WhatsApp from Marcus. Now, this is regards to PTPTN. How is it that you can take up another loan when you can't even afford to pay up your existing ones, i.e. I think PTPTN here? I think we should go strong on financial literacy plan, especially at the uni level. In fact, make it compulsory because it's holding many people back from their career.
Yeah, you see, I totally agree with that because... you're making somebody, you're giving them the idea that you need to buy a property, right? When the government gets in on the plan, you're going to think that, hey, taking out a loan on a property is okay. Just as you thought that taking out a loan to study without paying for it was okay, now you're doing the same to property. While I agree that education might be a social good, property isn't, right? You can rent. You can basically rent. And you don't need to take on this extra debt, which will weigh down on you for the rest of your life.
Well, you know, Julian, you and I can have a very, very long discussion on the pros and cons of buying property. I know you're kind of against property. I'm not.
It's not just pros and cons. It's a cultural fixation, right? And
it is
there
true.
Is a problem.
It's a very
with that.
Asian thing. But for some people, it does make sense. And for others, it doesn't. Which is why the point that Marcus brought up is true. There should be some financial literacy, and people should be made aware of their options.
Yeah. And we also have a WhatsApp from Natalie Shubb. Now, people who don't, and this is on PTPN, who don't pay their PTPN loan should study harder to get first class degree so that their loans would have been exempted, which is true.
Yeah,
if you do get first class,
it
will
right?
waive it. It will be...
Sometimes it's not your choice, you know. Like, even if you study like hard 24-7 mugging it.
Yeah, you're not the clever one. You're just not the clever one.
University can be a very fun place to be, especially at that age. And at the same time, I think we also have Norley, and this is with regards to retail, being Barney, being filing for bankruptcy. The retail store is not dead. Long live the internet. I shop online as much as possible. I hate going to the malls and fighting with everyone.
But there's another one that he's Ash. He says, I don't see myself buying luxury goods online. If I'm going to spend that kind of money, I want to have the full retail experience.
Wow, very brave of her.
That's why I think that flagship stores are going to be there as well, are going to be here to stay. While you're closing down 15 of the 22 stores that Barneys are doing, they're still going to leave one or two flagship stores where you can actually go into for that particular shopping experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the experience that people are going for. So I see there's also WhatsApp coming from Jit, and this is with regards to shopping online again. He distinguishes different things that he would buy. For an example, regular goods, clothes that he is very comfortable with in terms of size and cut. Those are the things that he'll buy online. And some tech product, if they can do overnight delivery. Otherwise, I'd still go to the store and buy them.
And then we have one more from Melanie on leashing, who is probably pro because she says, I have no issue with parents who leash their kids, but I do judge parents that allow their kids to run rampant.
Okay, there you go. Always an argument for either side. All right, thank you so much for that stimulating discussion. Continue to engage with us as we move on along into the other business hours. And we're coming up to the 7 a.m. news. And after that, we'll bring you a update of markets from around the world. And in the meantime, here's All Star by Smash Mouth, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.